Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. Winter is officially over, folks, so happy springtime. The weather is looking warm and sunny, but Santa Ana winds are gusting into our area the next couple of days and humidity is dropping, so the National Weather Service has issued a fire weather advisory for our region. So please, listeners, be careful to avoid any activities that might spark a brush fire. On today's show, we'll have the latest on a controversy at Helix Charter High School in La Mesa, where a police officer who slammed a handcuffed student to the ground has sparked protests and wound up on administrative duty. The countywide hepatitis emergency has been lifted, and so has El Cajon's ban on feeding the homeless in public parks, and we'll have details. Also on our health report, hear about a mouse that's tested positive for hantavirus in East County's mountains and steps you can take to protect yourself from this potentially deadly disease if you're cleaning out a mouse-infested area at your home or property. On our Capitol report, we'll have details on Congress avoiding a shutdown of the government, but only temporarily, and what that means for children's health care and dreamers seeking protection from deportation. County supervisors have approved 5 new fire watch cameras for mountaintops in our inland region, and we'll tell you where they'll be installed on today's show. On our local government report, hear about Santee's ban on smoking on public trails and why some people say the city council didn't go far enough. Plus, learn about steps that Santee is taking to move toward district elections. Hear why the county wants to accept competitive bids for animal services. Plus, in Lemon Grove, the City Council has postponed action on restoring the city's planning commission. A popular railroad ride for children in Alpine is moving to the Railway Museum in Campo. But there's just one problem. The museum needs funds and volunteers to put the railway exhibit back together again and enhance it with displays about gold mining in our area. Find out how you can help on today's show. The Anza Borrego Desert State Park has been declared an International Dark Sky Park, due to its stellar qualities for stargazing, and we'll have details. On the second half of our show today, we'll have top national news headlines from Public News Service, including reports that President Donald Trump tried to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller several months ago until the White House counsel threatened to resign. Then on Destination East County, hear about some amazing events coming up across our inland region, from concerts by big names such as the Oak Ridge Boys and Pepe Aguilar, to Valentine's Day events, hawk watching, an animal show at a camel dairy, theatrical productions, a powwow, and more. Learn why the Red Cross has put out an urgent call for blood and platelet donors to roll up their sleeves and help save lives. We'll also take you on the road to Ramona to tell you about the 16th community mural soon to be unveiled there. Plus, now that springtime is here, we'll have a public service announcement from SDG&E on why you should be sure to call 811 to check for gas lines before you dig for safety's sake. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
A video showing a La Mesa Police School resource officer slamming a handcuffed black female student to the ground at Helix Charter High School last Friday has gone viral, prompting over 100 students to walk out of class on Monday and hold a rally in protest. According to police, the student was on suspension and had refused to leave campus when asked, so the officer handcuffed her and led her to the office, but she resisted, tried to pull free and run. She was forcibly taken to the ground by the officer, who then walked her to a patrol car. But according to a friend and family spokesperson, Aramique Mika, the girl was a straight-A student who was in an on-campus suspension program when she told her teacher she didn't feel well and suffered from anemia. Mika says the teacher accused the student of taking drugs and asked to search her backpack. No drugs were found, but the teacher did find pepper spray, which the student reportedly carried for self-defense since she rides a trolley from southeast San Diego to the high school. Pepper spray is illegal for minors to carry in California and is not allowed on campus, so the student was arrested. She was checked by paramedics at the police station and found to have abrasions, but did not require further medical treatment, according to police. But many who saw the 30-second video are criticizing the police. The video only shows the officer slamming the student to the ground and does not show what occurred before. Some students who witnessed the incident have said the officer roughly forced the student to the ground twice. Mika, speaking at the rally, said, "We are demanding that the officer be removed from all campuses. We are tired of our police departments justifying the injustice that takes place in San Diego. We are not standing for it anymore," Mika added. At the La Mesa City Council meeting, council members heard from several members of the public, all white, speaking out to voice concerns over the officer's action in the disturbing incident. La Mesa Police Chief Walt Vasquez announced after the student's protest that the officer involved in the use of force incident has been reassigned and will not be serving at any school pending the outcome of an investigation into whether the use of force was excessive. Lieutenant Chad Bell stated, "We understand that the reputation of our police department is being called into question right now. It happened and we're not making excuses for it. We are asking people to give us a chance to do our investigation." Bell added, the San Diego Union-Tribune reports. Helix High School's Executive Director Kevin Osborne issued a statement indicating that all incidents involving students or student disciplinary matters are confidential and that Helix Charter High School is not at liberty to discuss such student matters. He adds, "We want to assure the community that actions taken by the school are guided by what is lawful and in the best interest of Helix Charter High School students, staff, and school community." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Meridian Broaddus.
This is Gene Carpenter with a health report. After 4 weeks with no new hepatitis A cases reported, the San Diego County Board of Supervisors approved a motion Tuesday ending the local public health emergency, which began September 1st. In addition, El Cajon's temporary ban on feeding the homeless in public places during the countywide hepatitis emergency has also ended. El Cajon Councilman Gary Kendrick advised East County Magazine that sunset language in the city's ordinance ended when the county lifted the emergency declaration. So it's now legal once again for organizations to feed the homeless in El Cajon parks or other public property. Last weekend, El Cajon police cited a dozen people who defied the temporary ban at a homeless event in Wells Park. The ACLU suggested the ban was unconstitutional and activists threatened litigation. But El Cajon Mayor Wells defended the city's actions as needed to control the outbreak of hepatitis, which sickened 577 people countywide and resulted in 20 deaths. The county outbreak is not over. Local officials say they will continue to work with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the California Department of Public Health on the efforts taken to control the disease. From May to September last year, there was an average of 84 cases reported each month. In December, that number dropped to 8 cases. No new cases have been reported in 2018. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says new outbreak activity has leveled off to near zero. She credits the county's sustained vaccination, sanitation, and education efforts in cooperation with the local healthcare community, homeless service providers, nonprofits, faith-based organizations, and local cities for helping to bring the outbreak under control. The county will continue hepatitis A vaccinations at public health centers, jails, and detention facilities, homeless tent shelters, and locations where high-risk individuals congregate. Mass vaccinations will also be held for food handlers to further protect the public.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Health Report. A deer mouse in East County's mountain area has tested positive for the potentially deadly Hanta virus, the first positive testing of the virus in San Diego County in 2018. Hanta virus can cause fatal infections in people. There is no vaccine or cure. However, people have very little chance of being exposed to the virus if they keep wild rodents out of their homes and workplaces. Hantavirus is not unusual in San Diego County, but it is mainly carried by wild mice that do not live in the same places with people. The mouse that tested positive was trapped in Inaha Memorial Park in Santa Isabel. To avoid exposure to hantavirus, seal up all external holes in homes, garages, and sheds larger than a dime to keep rodents from getting in. Eliminate rodent infestations immediately. Avoid rodent-infested areas and do not stir up dust or materials that may be contaminated with rodent droppings and urine. Use wet cleaning methods to prevent inhaling the virus. Do not sweep or vacuum infested areas. Ventilate affected area by opening doors and windows for at least 30 minutes. Use rubber gloves. Spray a 10% bleach solution or other disinfectants onto contaminated areas and let the disinfectant stand for at least 15 minutes before cleaning. Clean with a sponge or a mop. Place debris and any dead rodents into two plastic bags. Seal them and discard in the trash. Wash gloves in a bleach solution, then soap and water. Dispose of them using the same double bag method, and then thoroughly wash your hands with soap and water. For more information, contact the County Department of Environmental Health at 858-694-2888.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Capitol Report. Both houses of Congress have approved a short-term spending bill to reopen the federal government, but only until February 8th. The compromise measure includes 6 years of funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, which had expired at year's end. But Democrats failed to win DREAM Act protection from deportation for young immigrants or DREAMers, settling on a mere promise from Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to address the issue in a separate immigration bill with no guarantee of passage. The measure passed the Senate 81-18, opposed by California's two Democratic senators Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein. In the House, the bill passed by a 237-197 margin. Among San Diego's representatives, Republicans Duncan Hunter and Daryl Issa voted for the bill, while Democrats Scott Peters, Susan Davis, and Juan Vargas voted against it. Senator Harris issued this statement after the vote. The majority leader's comments last night fell far short of the ironclad guarantee I needed to support a stopgap spending bill. She added, "I refuse to put the lives of nearly 700,000 young people in the hands of someone who has repeatedly gone back on his word." Harris pledged to do everything in her power to continue to protect DREAMers from deportation. Senator Feinstein also spoke out, saying she voted no on the bill for one reason. It didn't include the DREAM Act, as has been repeatedly promised. She added, "I'm frustrated and angry that once again we were prevented from voting on that bill." The DREAMers are immigrants brought to the United States as children and until recently protected from deportation by the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. Many speak only English and know very little about the country of their birth. More than 200,000 live in California. To qualify for DACA, these young immigrants cannot have criminal records, and the vast majority hold jobs or are attending school. But the clock is ticking, causing anxiety among immigrant families. President Donald Trump repealed DACA, a program created by an executive order issued by President Barack Obama. Trump gave Congress 6 months to pass legislation to protect the DREAMers, or they will face deportation starting as early as March. Most Democrats ultimately voted with Republicans to pass the short-term funding bill, leading President Trump to taunt Democrats for caving on the issue.
Five more cameras will soon be positioned atop mountains in East County to help spot wildfires and help firefighters douse flames early to prevent firestorms. Supervisors on Tuesday approved funds to expand the UCSD Scripps Institute's High Performance Wireless Research and Education Network, or HPREN. The new cameras are slated to be installed on Coles Mountain as well as Cuyamaca, North Peak, Sierra Rojo, and White Star Peaks over the next year. Currently, there are 180 cameras and 60 HPREN stations taking still photos as well as time-lapse high-definition images. Tony Meacham, County Fire and Cal Fire Chief, told supervisors that similar webcams helped firefighters respond quickly during the Lilac Fire and have also prevented dispatching multiple units for minor incidents. Money for the new cameras will be allocated from a trust fund set up after the 2003 Cedar Fire to enhance fire protection. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier. Five more cameras will soon be positioned atop mountains in East County to help spot wildfires and help firefighters douse flames early to prevent firestorms. Supervisors on Tuesday approved funds to expand the UCSD Scripps Institute's High Performance Wireless Research and Education Network, or HPREN. The new cameras are slated to be installed on Coles Mountain, as well as Cuyamaca, North Peak, Sierra Rojo, and White Star Peaks over the next year. Currently, there are 180 cameras and 60 HPREN stations taking still photos, as well as time-lapse high-definition images. Tony Meacham, County Fire and Cal Fire Chief, told supervisors that similar webcams helped firefighters respond quickly during the Lilac Fire and have also prevented dispatching multiple units for minor incidents. Money for the new cameras will be allocated from a trust fund set up after the 2003 Cedar Fire to enhance fire protection. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
This is Jonathan Getz with East County Magazine's local government report from Santee. Smoking or vaping on Santee City trails is now illegal, effective January 25th. The City Council has voted to ban smoking tobacco products such as cigarettes, as well as electronic cigarettes, on all city trails, such as the Walker Preserve and the trail near Mast Park. With the vote, Santee joins the rest of the 18 cities in San Diego County in prohibiting smoking on public trails, an obvious fire hazard. But Santee City Council voted to continue allowing smoking in public parks, over the objections of most speakers at a public hearing earlier this month. Lisa Bridges, a coordinator for Santee Solutions Coalition, said the city should expand the ban to all parks and open spaces, not just the trails. Having the ability to access smoke-free parks was among the major reasons why most people visited such areas, Bridges said. Carol Green, from Community Action Service Advocacy, an East County nonprofit, also pushed the council to expand the smoking ban to include all of the city parks and city open spaces, much like the rest of the county has. Because the ban won't affect city parks, many people will be confused about where the ban is in effect, and that will lead to less compliance, Green said. Lorenzo Higley, chairman of Tobacco Free Communities Coalition, said secondhand smoke was responsible for killing 80,000 people in the United States last year. There is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke, he said. Sarah Shoudy, a senior at Santana High School, said she enjoys going to parks in her city, but not when she has to endure secondhand smoke and see many discarded cigarette butts. Only Councilman Stephen Houlihan said he would support expanding the ban to all parks and open spaces. I want to make a motion for the big kibosh, but I'll probably get kiboshed, Houlihan said. But Councilman McNellis said limiting the freedoms of others is not what the Constitution is all about. He disagreed with including vaping in the smoking ban, saying vaping doesn't present a fire hazard, nor a littering problem. He motioned to remove e-cigarettes from the trail's smoking ban, but his motion died when nobody seconded it. The council also considered including now-legalized marijuana in the ban, but were dissuaded from that by City Attorney Sean Haggerty, who assured them that marijuana smoking is already prohibited by state law in all public spaces. The vote on the ordinance was approved, 4-1, with McNellis voting against it. The Santee Council also took the first steps towards changing the way its members are elected, voting to pursue establishing a system of district election of representatives. Currently, the five council members are selected by all voters in the city. The system being adopted by many California cities entails setting up districts that would vote on a single seat to represent the neighborhood. The mayor is usually selected by all the city's voters. El Cajon approved district elections in 2016 and adopted district maps last year for its 2018 elections. The rationale given for the proposed change is to give minority populations more representation on an elected body. Yet several council members said they didn't think it would improve things and were against making the change. This could change the entire dynamics of how we govern our city and who governs our city, said Mayor John Minto. All Santee council members are white men. Several members said they were moving ahead with the approval to comply with the directive from the state's Attorney General and California's Voting Rights Act. Not doing so would likely incur a lawsuit, they warned. District elections allow for the possibility of creating a district comprised of a majority of minorities. According to demographic data at city-data.com, as of 2016, Santee's population was 68.9% white, with 18.4% Hispanic, 5.4% of people with two or more races, 4.2% Asian, 1.9% Black, and all other races combined accounting for less than 1%. While some cities have sued to retain the at-large citywide voting selection process, the outcome of this litigation is not yet known. If those cities prevailed, Santee could reverse its decision to adopt a district system of elections, McNellis said. The council approved a measure to spend up to $50,000 on hiring a consultant to help the city draw up a district map. The vote was 4-1, with Ron Hall opposed.
County supervisors on Tuesday approved a proposal to accept bids from outside animal welfare organizations seeking to compete against the county's Animal Services Department to provide services in the county's unincorporated areas, including rural, desert, and mountain regions in East County, as well as neighborhoods such as Spring Valley, Alpine, and Lakeside. Currently, Animal Services offers animal welfare, public protection, code enforcement, adoptions, and sheltering of pets for the unincorporated area and six contract cities. The county notified those cities, Carlsbad, Del Mar, Encinitas, San Diego, Santee, and Solana Beach in May last year, that those contracts won't be renewed when they expire on June 30th of this year. The county took initial steps to outsource animal services for the unincorporated area based on supervisors' approval back in March 2017, but the Department and Service Employees International Union, Local 221, later decided to pursue the managed competition process. The board's authorization on Tuesday will allow both animal services and the San Diego Humane Society and SPCA, or Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, to compete for the work. The entity that offers the most economical and efficient proposal while still providing the best animal care will ultimately provide animal services in the unincorporated area, according to a press release issued by the county. A final decision is expected in August. The idea of outsourcing the county's animal services work has been controversial. Residents in East County objected to receiving only last-minute notice about the only public meeting on the issue held in East County, which was scheduled during the workday in Ramona when many could not attend. On the other hand, criticisms have been raised about animal services, notably during the 2016 border fire, when inadequate funding for the department was blamed for a shortage of manpower to rescue or bring relief to pets and livestock trapped in the evacuation zone for days during triple-digit heat. Many animals perished, although many others were rescued with help from animal services as well as private animal welfare groups. Whether private groups competing at lower wages would provide better or worse service to the public when needed 24/7 is a key concern, with the county seeking to pare its budget for animal services even further, as well as the potential loss of union wage jobs for workers. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with a local government report from Lemon Grove. During the recession, Lemon Grove City Council voted to eliminate the city's planning commission and have the city council hear all development proposals. But now that the economy and city revenues are improving, the council is considering bringing it back. Council discussed the matter at its last meeting and put the issue on the agenda for its February 20th meeting. Two of the current council members, Jennifer Mendoza and Mayor Raquel Vasquez, both served as planning commissioners in the past. Both voted against the 3-2 decision to eliminate the commission after their election to the city council. Councilmember David Arambola also supports bringing back the planning commission. In drafting language to reinstate the planning commission, staff is also reviewing the city's municipal code to update it in compliance with new laws. The Lemon Grove City Council also expressed interest in continuing discussion on a new Adopt-a-Park program that would allow civic group volunteers to help clean up city parks.
For the past 28 years, Roy Affey has charmed visitors in Alpine with a train that he constructed and operated for children of all ages. His Descanso, Alpine and Pacific Railway included a 1935 locomotive and riding car, 5 stations, a blacksmith's quarters, and a 100-foot-long train trestle that gave riders scenic mountain views. Through the years, Affey, a model train enthusiast and railway historian, gave over 15,000 rides on his backyard railway, also educating riders about railway lore. But age and health constraints has forced him to find a way to make sure that people can enjoy his train for many years to come. So he's generously donated the entire train to the Campo Railroad Park and Museum, located on the grounds of the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo. Jim Lundquist, Director of Museum Services, says the museum is extremely grateful for the generous and unexpected donation. A local moving company has stepped in to help underwrite most of the relocation costs. But there's just one problem. The museum has no funds to pay for reassembling the train in Campo. Funds are also needed for grading and laying tracks, installing electric power, and enhancing the display with a faux mine and mining equipment to educate riders about our region's many gold and precious metal mines. The nonprofit museum also hopes to add a tunnel, a depot, an additional coach, and caboose to the exhibit. The estimated cost is $120,000. Anyone with an interest in preserving history and delighting children is encouraged to visit CampoRailroadPark.com/donate and choose the mine train option to make a donation. Volunteers are also needed to help reconstruct the Alpine Railway at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum. If you'd like to volunteer, please contact Jim at psrm.org. That's Jim at psrm.org. Reporting for East County Magazine from Campo, this is Paul Cruz.
This is Miriam Raftery with some stellar news from our desert region. Anza-Borrego Desert State Park has just received official designation as an International Dark Sky Park. The designation recognizes the park as an ideal location for stargazing, protected from city lights. Photographer Dennis Mamana made the announcement proudly on Facebook, adding, "This means the dark sky community of Borrego Springs is now completely surrounded by an official dark sky park." Borrego Springs has had its own dark skies community designation since 2009. At 650,000 acres, or roughly 1,000 square miles, Anza-Borrego is the largest state park in California, with two-thirds of that protected as designated wilderness area. The park's acting district superintendent, Noor Brumke, calls the announcement exciting news, adding that the park has made improvements to light fixtures to protect wildlife and enable visitors to enjoy the beauty the desert has to offer at night. According to the Dark Sky Association, Anza-Borrego's commitment to protecting and interpreting the night skies was a factor in the designation. The park and the Borrego Springs community together are located in a pool of natural darkness in the Southern California desert. Mamana has taken stunning photos of the Milky Way and other celestial sights easily visible in the dark skies over the Anza-Borrego Desert, even dazzling images of the Aurora Borealis or Northern Lights captured with long exposures in our local desert terrain. You can enjoy the dark skies experience on a Borrego night sky tour offered by Mamana in the state park. For more information, you can visit BorregoNightSkyTours.com.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, January the 26, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Multiple news outlets confirming that President Donald Trump attempted to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller back in June. Also in focus on our Friday rundown, U.S. mayors weighing in on immigration reform. Cuomo commits New York to net neutrality, and opponents speak out against a Wyoming grizzly hunt. First, our top story, the New York Times broke the news. President Trump ordered the firing of Special Counsel Robert Mueller last June. The Times says they talked to four people who knew of the matter. According to those sources, Trump ultimately backed down after the White House counsel, Don McGahn, threatened to resign rather than carry out the directive. The Times reports it was during the first wave of news reports that Mueller was examining possible obstruction of justice. The president began to argue that Mueller had conflicts of interest that disqualified him from overseeing the investigation, including a dispute years ago over fees at Trump's National Golf Club in Sterling, Virginia. For his part, Mueller apparently learned that Trump tried to fire him in the last few months. Immigration is a hot topic for the hundreds of mayors in D.C. this week for the winter meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Mary Sherman tells us that includes nine mayors from Ohio.
Congress faces a March 5th deadline to pass a permanent congressional solution for DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. And earlier this week, the government shutdown ended after a pledge from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to negotiate a DACA deal by February 8th. Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley says she's heard from dreamers in her city who say they're scared about their future.
Could you imagine getting up and really this decision by Congress is going to affect whether you can stay in your community, the only community you've really known your entire life, or have to move to a country you've never really been to since you were 6 or 7 years old? That's what's going on this issue.
The White House will soon release its framework for immigration, which it says includes a permanent solution on DACA. And President Donald Trump has said he is open to a path to citizenship for some 800,000 immigrants brought to the U.S. as children.
Immigrants account for about 5% of all self-employed Ohioans, and according to federal estimates, there are about 95,000 undocumented immigrants living in the state. Governor Andrew Cuomo took action Wednesday to preserve open internet access in the state of New York.
The governor signed an executive order instructing state agencies to only sign contracts with internet service providers that adhere to the principles of net neutrality. That means the ISPs must agree not to block, slow down, or give priority to internet content or charge customers higher prices for access to specific types of content. Last month, the Federal Communications Commission narrowly voted to repeal net neutrality regulations. According to Ernesto Falcone with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, states have limited ability to restore net neutrality, but they are not completely powerless.
This is one of those things where the state is acting as a buyer of internet service and is leveraging the fact that taxpayer money is going to these ISPs, and if they wish to keep receiving those funds, they have to give the people the benefit of a neutral network.
Supporters of net neutrality say it prevents ISPs from abusing their power, but opponents say it stifles investment. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Legislation to restore net neutrality also is being introduced in the Congress. And for the ninth time in a row, a Wake County jury chose life in prison without the possibility of parole over the death penalty in a North Carolina trial this week. More on the story from Stephanie Carson.
The county has not seen a death sentence since 2007, but it has more capital trials than any other county in the state. Robert Dunham with the Death Penalty Information Center says Wake County's pattern is following a state and national trend of jurors and prosecutors opting to punish those convicted with their time instead of their life.
That's what we're seeing nationwide as well. More and more across the country, juries are returning life verdicts in situations in which they might have returned death sentences 20 years ago. And in fact, in the last 2 years, we've had the fewest number of new death sentences imposed in this country.
According to a Gallup poll, support nationally for the death penalty fell to its lowest point in 25 years in 2017. The defendant in this week's trial in Wake County, Donovan Richardson, received two life sentences. He was one of three people involved with the 2014 murders of Arthur Brown and David McCoy during a robbery.
In the last 3 years, there have been 10 capital trials with one death sentence in all 100 North Carolina counties. And finally, Suzanne Potter reports conservation groups are speaking out against a proposed grizzly bear hunt already set for Wyoming this fall.
Recently, the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission directed its staff to plan the first grizzly hunt in many years. The move was made possible because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service took the Yellowstone grizzlies off of the federal endangered species list last year and left management up to the states of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Bonnie Rice with the Sierra Club says the state is making a hasty decision.
I think it sends a really bad signal that pretty much the minute the federal protections are removed, the state is rushing to have a grizzly bear hunt.
The Sierra Club is part of an ongoing lawsuit challenging the delisting. The state argues that only a few bears will actually be shot.
Last fall, the Interagency Grizzly Bear Study Team estimated the total population at 718 bears and said it tracked 56 bear deaths last year, primarily at the hands of humans, even without a state-sanctioned hunt. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Jonathan Getz.
And I'm Meridian Broaddus, guest hosting Destination East County.
This week's Destination East County includes Pepe Aguilar in concert at San Diego State, The Mousetrap at Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa, Hawkwatch in the Ramona Grasslands, Laurel and Hardy Movies in Spring Valley, and a local author's expo in El Cajon.
Plus, we'll have coming attractions including a powwow at Cuyamaca College, Cupid and Canines at Grossmont Center, animal shows at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona, a star party, garden tours, romantic Valentine's dinners in Julian, theatrical productions, and live music concerts, including Mean Mary, the Oak Ridge Boys, jazz, classical, and gospel music.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Pepe Aguilar will perform live in concert at the Viejas Arena at San Diego State's Aztec Bowl on January 28th at 6:30 p.m., The American-born singer and songwriter, raised in Mexico, started singing on stage at 3 years old, and he's never left. The son of Mexican music and film stars Antonio Aguilar and Flor Silvestri, he attained stardom in his own right with an album of romantic ballads in 1998. Since then, he's embraced traditional Mexican rancheria and mariachi music, as well as pop music, a style that has won him multiple Grammy and Latin Grammy awards and sold over 12 million albums. Tickets are available at viejas.arenasandiego.com.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa presents Agatha Christie's classic mystery, The Mousetrap, running each weekend through February 4th. A terrible snowstorm traps a group of strangers in a quaint boarding house. To everyone's horror, it soon becomes clear that a murderer is hiding among them. This thrilling whodunit by Agatha Christie, author of so many classic English murder mysteries, is known for its unpredictable ending. Can you pinpoint the murderer before the characters do? The original production of The Mousetrap on London's West End has now been running continuously for 61 years, making it the most popular whodunit of all time and the longest-running show of any type in the modern era. For tickets and details, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
The Wildlife Research Institute invites you to Hawk Watch each Saturday in January and February at 10 a.m. Visitors can see birds of prey such as hawks, eagles, and owls. Sponsored by the Wildlife Research Institute, this year Hawk Watch will be held at Beegent Ranch, a private ranch open only for the Hawk Watch events. Guests are advised to arrive a half hour early for parking, bring binoculars, and enjoy coffee and donuts before viewing the raptors that make their homes in the Ramona grasslands. For more information, you can visit wildlife-research.org.
Saps at Sea, the local Laurel and Hardy fan club, present their 40th anniversary Saps Funtastical Gathering of Films and Food. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. at Williams Hall at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Spring Valley, with the show starting at 7 on January 27th. The program includes a silent film with live music by Russ Peck, a hilarious cartoon, and more. Plus, the Saps will give you a surprise look at some special events and guests greeting the Saps this year. They start off their 40th year in a hilarious way.
The El Cajon Library will host its third local author expo on Sunday, January 28th at 2 p.m., featuring presentations by three local authors and a reception afterwards where attendees may meet the authors, buy books, and enjoy refreshments. The authors featured include Wani Jairu Walrama, a La Mesa resident and author of Unexpected America, a memoir of her experience coming to America after growing up as the daughter of peasants on a farm in colonial Kenya. Carrie Thompson, a San Diego author of young adult fiction, also writes adult fiction under the pseudonym Callie Lanford. Roger Conley, former reporter for the San Diego Evening Tribune, has authored seven historical novels, including his latest, Deep Water, a political thriller set during the early days of the Cold War.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Mean Mary will be live in concert on February 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Summit Universalist Unitarian Fellowship in Santee. The artist is an Americana, bluegrass, blues, and folk artist based in Nashville, stopping here on her blazing tour through Southern California. Mary read music before she could read words and was proficient on guitar, banjo, and fiddle by age 7, according to a bio provided by Summit. She is known for her lightning-fast fingers, haunting vocals, and intricate story songs. For more information, visit summituf.org.
The Native American Student Alliance at Cuyamaca College is hosting its fourth annual powwow on February 3rd from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. in front of the Communication Arts Complex. The powwow aims to promote Native American heritage with activities including Native dances, bird singing, drums, arts and crafts vendors, and foods. Cuyamaca is an adaptation of a Kumeyaay phrase, a Cuyamac, which writers have translated to mean behind the clouds, above rain, and the place where the rain comes from heavens. No matter the translation, Cuyamaca College's ties to the Native American community and culture are strong. With its location on once indigenous land and its close proximity to many reservations. For directions to Cuyamaca College in the Rancho San Diego area of El Cajon, visit cuyamaca.edu.
Grossmont College's Theater Arts Department will kick off its spring season with its 12th annual Inside the Actors Process production, this time focusing on classical theater. Directed by Benjamin Cole, Inside the Actors Process Classical will be offered to the public at the Stagehouse Theater on February 2nd and 3rd at 7:30 p.m., plus a matinee performance at 2 p.m. on February 3rd. The play, which provides audiences a peek at the actors' process of discovering their characters, features Grossmont College Theater Arts students performing vignettes of classics penned by Molière, Ibsen, Chekhov, Shakespeare, and Oliver Goldsmith in today's modern language. For tickets, visit the Grossmont College Theater Arts Department at grossmont.edu.
The Oak Ridge Boys, who were recently inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, will perform on Saturday, February 3rd at 5 p.m. in Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. They've won many awards, including a Grammy, Country Music Association, and American Country Music Awards, and they're still going strong after more than 40 years. For tickets, visit sequan.com.
A violin and cello concert will be presented by Paviki Nykter and Cecilia Kim at Mission Trails Regional Park on Sunday, February 4th at 3 p.m. The complimentary concert will be held in the Visitor Center. For directions and details, visit mtrp.org.
Grossmont Center Shopping Mall in La Mesa invites you to Cupid and Canines on February 10th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The San Diego Animal Support Foundation and Grossmont Center are bringing together dozens of rescue groups and shelters, featuring hundreds of adoptable dogs and even some cats for this mega adoption event inside the mall. Find purebred breeds from Chihuahuas to Great Pyrenees, as well as all-American mutts. Just in time for Valentine's Day, you can find your new best friend or the perfect family pet. For more information, visit grossmontcenter.com.
Bruce and Beverly Dorsey with the San Diego Chamber Music Society will perform a concert with piano and horn at the La Mesa Library on February 10th at 1 p.m. The La Mesa Library hosts free concerts on the second Saturday each month, thanks to support from Friends of La Mesa Library.
You're invited to bring the family to Open Farm Day at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona on February 10th and 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. with a live animal show at 1:30 p.m. The show features talking parrots, galloping, gobbling turkeys, dedicated farm dogs, and the biggest stars, camels. You can also feed treats to camels, cuddle with camels, shop for camels' milk, soaps, and lotions, take crazy camel selfies, or ride a camel. For details, visit cameldairy.com.
Jeremy's on the Hill in the Julian area will be serving up four-course Valentine's dinners paired with local wines on February 10th through the 14th. This romantic feast begins with ceviche and your choice of lobster bisque or a salad topped with ripe fruits, followed by a choice of salmon, duck, or steak entrees. This meal concludes with a Bananas Foster vanilla layer cake with chocolate espresso sauce and chai tea whipped cream. If you come on the 10th, 11th, or 12th, you can also enjoy live music, classical guitar, piano, and acoustic guitar, respectfully. For all the delicious details, or to make a reservation for you and your Valentine, you can visit bestrestaurantinjulian.com.
On February 17th, the Water Conservation Garden invites you to a Valentine's tour titled Love for Sex in the Garden. Think humans work hard at finding a partner? You'll be astounded at the creativity, deceit, competitiveness, and even murder that plants attempt to achieve pollination. Bring your sweetheart and celebrate nature's creativity with tour guide Rosalie Dosick, the self-described Dr. Ruth of the plant world, plus chocolate for all who attend. This PG-rated tour is based on the book Sex in the Garden. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village will host live music by Stage 4, Jazz on February 17th at 7 p.m. Stage 4 is a dynamic group with a repertoire that spans jazz, rhythm, blues, and more. For details, visit sanpasqualewinery.com.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego's Ensemble will be performing gospel and inspirational songs at the Lemon Grove Library on Saturday, February 17th at 2 p.m. The Lemon Grove Library is located at 3001 School Lane in Lemon Grove. The ensemble's music celebrates the history of Negro spirituals, aspiring to be inspirational and uplifting. For more information, you can visit the musical group's website at mlkccsd.org.
View the Andromeda Galaxy, the Orion Nebula, and other celestial sights during a star party at Mission Trails Regional Park on Saturday, February 17th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Amateur astronomer and trail guide George Varga will have a telescope available for viewing the night sky at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground's day-use parking lot. Learn more at www.mtrp.org.
Learn tips for attracting pollinators such as bees, hummingbirds, and butterflies to your garden at La Mesa Beautiful's annual meeting on February 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Nancoots Cottage near the La Mesa Recreation Center. Marcia Van Loy, a volunteer with the Master Gardener Association for 17 years, will be the speaker. Growing plants for all types of pollinators in her hillside garden is one of Loy's favorite subjects to share with others. Her garden is a certified wildlife habitat, a certified earth-friendly garden, and was featured in the San Diego Home and Garden magazine. And, after many years of collecting rustic birdhouses, she now teaches master gardeners how to build them to raise funds for their educational programs. RSVPs are requested at lamesabeautiful@gmail.com.
Young Actors Theater will present Susico the Musical at the Encore Theater in the Casa de Oro area of Spring Valley from February 22nd through March 4th. This musical production brings to life your favorite Dr. Seuss characters, from the Cat in the Hat to Horton the Elephant. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org or call 619-670-1627.
Riviera Supper Club in La Mesa has live bands on stage in the Turquoise Room most nights throughout February and March. Upcoming Saturday night headliners include Baja Bugs, Ron and the Reapers, Gino and the Lone Gunman, Black Market 111, Shark Jones, and Vinyl Pirates. For a full list of entertainment, visit RivieraSupperClub.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is John Fastier with the Health Alert. An urgent call for blood donors and platelet donors has been issued by the American Red Cross nationwide, including here in San Diego County. The Red Cross has a severe shortage due to donors canceling appointments because of flu and, in some areas, winter storms. Across the U.S., over 150 blood drives also had to be canceled in January due to severe winter weather. Existing and first-time donors are encouraged to roll up your sleeves and help out. January is National Blood Donor Month, one of the most challenging times of year to collect enough blood and platelet donations to meet patient needs. The Red Cross provides about 40% of the nation's blood supply, and currently Red Cross blood products are being distributed to hospitals as fast as donors come in. The Red Cross must collect more than 13,000 donations every day for patients at hospitals and transfusion centers nationwide. Accident and burn victims, heart surgery and organ transplant patients, and patients receiving treatment for leukemia, cancer, or sickle cell disease may all require blood to help save their lives. Platelets, a key clotting component of blood often needed by cancer patients, must be transfused within 5 days of donation and therefore are always in high demand. All blood types are needed. However, type O negative and B negative blood and platelet donors are especially critical, since type O can be transfused to people with all blood types in emergency situations, and B negative can be transfused to patients who are Rh negative or positive. You can visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make an appointment. You can also download the Red Cross Blood Donor app for your smartphone.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Jonathan Goetz on the road in Ramona, California. The Ramona Heart Mural Project will soon be unveiling its 16th community mural. A dedication ceremony for the Hiking on Mount Woodson mural will be held on Saturday, January 27th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Ramona Fitness Center. The public is invited to attend. In addition to refreshments, attendees will receive a picture of the mural, autographed by the artist. At 12 feet by 70 feet, the expansive mural depicts Mount Woodson as a destination for hikers who travel from around the world to appreciate the incredible views and large boulders unique to the terrain. Many hikers make it a goal to reach the top so they can take photographs of themselves on potato chip rock, a thin outcrop resembling a potato chip that looks like it will break off at any moment. Depicted in his mural below Mount Woodson, artist Rick Erickson projects his vision of far-reaching vineyards that he foresees in the fast-growing winemaking industry in the Ramona Valley. Erickson has been painting murals professionally for over 25 years, including the Firehouse mural at Ramona's original fire station and at the Pioneer Store. As with all Ramona mural projects, viewers will be challenged to discover the heart icons in a Where's Waldo-type exercise. The artist has painted 5 hidden hearts and 5 animals, some of them hidden in the Mount Woodson mural. The Ramona Heart Mural Project is a nonprofit organization. The acronym HEART stands for these qualities reflecting Ramona's unique character H for historic and hiking, E for equine, A for arts, antiques, and agriculture, R for scenic rural vistas and drives, and T for tasting wines. The goal of the Ramona Hart Murals Project is to create a reason for those passing tourists to stop to enjoy Ramona's charm, character, and heritage. In addition to murals on the walls of buildings, the Hart Mural Project recently announced the Utility Box Project. Artists will be painting utility boxes throughout Ramona along Main Street beginning this spring. For more information about the Ramona Hart Mural Project, you can visit ramonamurals.com or take a drive to Ramona in the heart of East County's mountains to view the many impressive murals up close. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
This is Eberena with a public service announcement from San Diego Gas and Electric. SDG&E has issued a reminder to the public about the importance of calling 811 before you dig. Calling 811 or underground service alert will help avoid possible injury or damage to hidden gas lines or service interruption. Damaging a natural gas line can pose a significant safety risk and disrupt natural gas service. Before digging, residents, business owners, and contractors should mark the proposed excavation area and call 811 at least 2 business days before the project is scheduled to begin. Underground Service Alert will contact all local utilities for free to have them locate and mark the underground lines, pipes, and cables they own. For more information about safe digging or to submit an online request, visit digalert.org. If you suspect a gas emergency or have questions regarding a gas odor or carbon monoxide, call SDG&E immediately at 800-411-7343. It's important to keep in mind that natural gas is flammable and that something as simple as a spark can serve as an ignition source. Use your sense of sight, hearing, and smell and any of the following signs to alert you to the presence of a gas leak. Look for the following: dirt or water being blown in the air, dead or dying vegetation over or near pipeline areas, a fire or explosion near a pipeline, exposed pipeline after an earthquake, fire, flood, or other disaster, and bubbles in puddles outdoors after a rain. You should listen for an unusual sound such as a hissing, whistling, or roaring sound near a pipeline, and you should smell for the distinctive odor of natural gas. However, although SDG&E adds a distinctive odor to natural gas to aid in the detection of leaks, you should not rely on your sense of smell alone to determine if you have a gas leak. For more safety information, visit sdge.com/safety.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Goetz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.